Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for joining Dr. Perletta Ramos and Roz Shell in Living Life Powerfully. We help you turn the ordinary into the extraordinary by claiming your power, getting your heart in the game, and learning how to live from the inside out. Let's create more happiness and success in your life.
Telling the truth, expressing our thoughts and feelings, and living from our authenticity can be a very hard thing to do. In fact, many of us walk around in silence, holding in our thoughts and emotions. We refuse to speak up and speak out when we see or experience a slight or injustice. Or we may hold in when we really want to speak our truth because we're afraid of how others may respond. You may have heard of the saying, we smile or laugh when we really want to cry, or worse, we may turn the cheek when we feel something deeply within us that we're longing to express because we don't want to appear weak or frail. Being true to yourself means you say and act in accordance with who you really are and what you believe. And on Living Life Powerfully today, the conversation is about claiming your power and expressing your truth. This is today's show is a part one of a two-part series. And so let's start with the question, who are you? In order to have an honest conversation with someone else, you must first be honest with yourself. And that takes courage. Courage to go within and to seek something deeper, a deeper understanding of who you are. And to be honest. Honest with yourself about how you feel, to see things from your perspective, to be aware and acknowledge your thoughts, your ideas, your emotions, as they truly are. Sometimes we hide from ourselves. So obviously, if we hide from ourselves, we hide from others. And we can't express our truth if we're not honest with who we are and how we really feel. So honesty is very important. And then acceptance. You have to acknowledge the totality of who you are. And once you do that, you can gain a deeper acceptance of your own wholeness. So those three things are really important: courage, honesty, and acceptance in order for you to claim your power. So there are a host of reasons why we silence our own voices. As a matter of fact, you can think of what makes you silence your voice in this moment now. I know in life I've had many of times where I have not been true to what I've really felt or thought. Sometimes we just don't know, right? We may automatic pilot and have experiences through life, and we just may not be aware of how we feel. We don't check in because we just may be too busy. In other instances, it has nothing to do with just being busy. We may not be aware of ourselves because we're afraid. Will be judged as a result of how we feel and what we think. And because of that fear, we may squash what we truly feel. Secondly, we may believe the person listening to us doesn't care. Sometimes we want someone else's acceptance or we want their approval, and that desire for someone else's approval can cloud our own judgment and shut us down. I know you can see that very easily with children. Right? They may not act in accordance with how they really feel because they're afraid or because they want their parents' approval. And so in wanting that approval, they aren't true to who they are. So the opposite of courage sometimes is fear, right? There may be times when many of us are fearful. The question is, what do you do when you're afraid that the other person is not going to be accepting of you, right? There may be a belief that our words will fall on deaf ears. And sometimes that's actually the case. We may communicate with someone what's true for us, and they may act as though they don't care or it's not relevant to them. Question is, what do you do then? Do you continue to quash how you feel or what you may think because someone is not receptive, or do you remain open regardless of the space that they're in? I say you remain, the goal is to not quash yourself, but to express yourself regardless of how someone else may be responding, even if it falls on deaf ears. The challenge of being powerful is standing your truth and authenticity regardless of who someone, who the person is and how they may respond. If you ever hear the phrase come from someone, it doesn't matter what I say or think, what matters is what I tell you to do. Yeah, I grew up with my mother saying that. That's, do as I say, not as I do. And sometimes that's a very challenging thing to hear because we don't really want, we want someone to actually hear us and to be grounded in how we're feeling. And at the same time, the expectation that someone is going to respond to us in a particular way is unrealistic. That doesn't always happen. And so to maintain one's own sense of sanity is what we're challenged to do when we're engaging in the world. Otherwise, we won't engage fully. Each of the perspectives that I just talked about, the fear that we may appear weak, the concern that the person that we're communicating with doesn't care, or that when we talk to someone, it may fall on deaf ears. Each of those things, if we allow the outside factors and focusing on the other person to allow us to not stand in our truth, we give our power away, right? Each of these perspectives, the three things, it places the other person with the ability to have the power to determine whether or not we express our truth. And that's what I mean by giving our power away. So if, for example, we're concerned that we may look weak or that a person may not believe us, we allow the other person to decide whether we give ourselves the freedom or not to express our thoughts and emotions or our truth. And this happens casually. It's quite often in relationships. You know, we may not want to get to experience the other person's reaction. I know sometimes, it's funny, in relationships with the opposite sex, you know, and this is a stereotype, so indulge me. You know, men may say, oh, a woman doesn't want to hear the truth because she has a reaction, right? But that's okay. The reality is when you tell the truth, the other person may certainly respond in a way that doesn't feel good to you. But that's not the point. The point is when you refuse to communicate honestly, then you're allowing that person's reaction to determine how you're going to respond. And that is a part of giving your power away, right? So we also must be careful about giving our power away to another person, which can happen in any situation where we silence ourselves because we believe the other person either won't hear what we are saying or won't care because we're wanting the validation about what we're saying. Finally, we rob ourselves of our true intimacy by hiding how we feel. And intimacy quite often is used out of context. To be intimate means to get to know, to have a deep connection with, you know, to go within and connect with. And when you have that level of intimacy with yourself, then you're claiming the power of truth to even know what's going on, even if you don't communicate it to anyone else. Certainly when you allow and give yourself permission to communicate with others, you're claiming your power because you're not hiding, right? So not only do we experience intimacy with another person when we communicate our truth, but we experience it with ourselves. Unfortunately, life experiences and the pressure to conform has discouraged many of us from claiming our true power, expressing our uniqueness, and telling the truth as we see it. There is a connection between truth and power, and that is what we're talking about today on Living Life Powerfully. What is that? What is that connection? Mahatma Gandhi once said, power is of two kinds. One is obtained by the fear of punishment of love. Power based on love is 1,000 times more effective. Let me say that again. Power based on love is 1,000 times more effective and permanent than the one derived from fear of punishment. Mary Ann Williamson and other noted leaders consistently talk about this fear that is pervasive in society and how it keeps people from really standing in their truth and being their authentic selves. And it's 100% true as well, why we made the topic of discussion today. So when we love ourselves enough to express our passion and be true to our heart's desire, we not only live from a place of inner power, but we create greater joy for ourselves and those in the world around us. Our joy emanates from our ability to live from our center. However, this requires that we have, and when I say self-respect, I'm not saying it in a casual cliche sense. No, instead, I'm talking about it in the context of truly honoring yourself and knowing that self-respect comes from being true who you are and from acting in accordance with your nature. That's one of the reasons why I asked earlier, who are you? Because to know one's nature, to be in touch with who one is, who are you part of it, it's not a simple task. Knowing one's nature means being in touch with one's nature, understanding who you are, how you feel, what makes you tick the way you do, is very challenging. Because in this life, we tend to be so busy, focused on the external world, doing this, going to and fro, taking care of our responsibilities, whether they be at work or at home, in the social context of volunteering. And when we're in that go-go-go mode, it's so easy, really, to disconnect from our true nature. We become the Autobahn, we focus on getting the task done. Quite often, our entire focus can be on obtaining success, whatever success means. And in our culture, most of the time, that means making a certain amount of money. I know much of my career I spent doing that. I went to law school for the specific purpose of making, I'll say, a lot of money. I didn't really have a context of what that was. The litmus test was six figures, and I still hear people say that, the six figure, and certainly higher up than the six figures, like $700,000 or $800,000 would be great. But my goal was really to break $100,000, and $200,000 would be great in my mind. That was what success was. And a period of my life, I was so focused on that that I lost connection with my nature. I was so driven that the part of me that, could slow down and smell the flowers was missing. I had no interest in it. What was driving me most was that. And on some level, in an external sense, I had achieved success because I met my goals. But internally, I was not connected with my nature at all. Actually, I was very much disconnected because I was so much more connected in the world. So acting in accordance with your nature requires that you first get in touch with your nature, because you can't act in accordance with it unless you do. And when you also ensure that you respect yourself, right, then you will be able to ensure that after you have self-respect, demand respect from others, because people will respect you only as much as you demonstrate respect for yourself and your own boundaries. So we all long to be free to express ourselves, and we come about it in this process of life in different ways. Freedom is one of those traits that if most of us actually feel it, we'd experience more joy, and that experience would feed off of itself and grow. Freedom comes, in fact, in many forms. It's an expression and action. It's the thoughts and how you feel, being loving and having an open mind, a freedom to in your body as well. So perhaps no other area reflects our uniqueness and individuality more than our relationships. So we can be free most often to just be ourselves when we're by ourselves. But when we enter into a relationship with another person, that's oftentimes when we stop, or there's a tendency to, it doesn't have to happen, there's a tendency to shift how we're being in the world to accommodate and to adjust. That's why there's no other area that reflects our uniqueness more than when we're in relationship with one another, because that's when we see how we may morph. It's in our relationships where we get the opportunity to practice our truth and our authenticity. And it doesn't necessarily mean a relationship with the opposite sex. It could be a relationship with our children. It could be a relationship with our colleagues at work. It could be, you know, some of us are in committed relationships. Some of us are dating. Some of us are not dating but want to be, or we're engaged with, you know, a plethora of relationships professionally, personally. Regardless of the type of relationship we're in, though, being in a relationship helps us to truly see where we are giving our power away to be authentic, because it is in that dance of relationship between self and other that oftentimes that's where, as I say, we lose our footing and begin to compromise who we are. And so it's important for you to just consider the next time you're having a conversation or you're engaged in a discussion or disagreement, who you're being in the context of how you really feel, what's your truth versus what you're communicating with the other person. It is essential that when we connect with the person, first we connect with our own sense of honesty, as I mentioned earlier, before we communicate with someone else. Because if we're really trying to people please, we'll lose our footing. And when we lose our footing, we won't really come from a place of authenticity and honesty. Charlotte Castle and others suggest that we define our relationships to people and ask them to be honest and direct about defining their vision of the relationship with us. A pretty profound concept, because we don't oftentimes have mature conversations about a relationship, particularly, for example, in the relationship with our children. We don't sit them down and say, hey, we're in a relationship and I'm your mother and father and you're the child, and this is kind of what I want the relationship to be, and we ask the child to communicate to us. Or, you know, using that same example in another context, we don't do that with our friends. So let's talk about how we want to evolve the relationship. We're just in relationship with them. But Castle suggests that we actually be honest and direct in defining the nature of the relationship and creating a vision for it. And why would we do that? Because sometimes it can be confusing to be in a relationship and not know where you stand, whether it is on the job or in a friendship or with a family member or in a love relationship. We have a right to be direct in how we define the relationship and what we want it to be. So how can you begin to increase your ability to be true to yourself? Solidify your core values and passions. Be clear about your vulnerabilities. Be true to your emotions. Those are ways in which you can know yourself and come from that authenticity before engaging in a relationship with someone else. Then you live in the moment. Right? Admit who you truly are and surrender to communicating what your truth is with someone else. So thank you for joining us today on Living Life Powerfully. Next week we're talking about part two of Claiming Your Power, and we'll discuss creating from a place of power. How do you do that? Between now and then, if you'd like to reach us, please feel free to email us at pearlrajradio@gmail.com. And remember to live life powerfully.